I'm sorry about the picture. We just heard just now, and I believe that was clearly from the Lord, about new things. When you hear that, is that what you want? New things? The Lord to do new things? I think it's quite easy sometimes to pray it, think it, and then we can leave it behind. But I'm so keen that the Lord would do new things in our hearts, fresh pouring out. Some people may recognise these. My wife will. Some of the guys maybe. I don't know. These are a pair of slippers. They're my slippers. I'm sorry about the picture quality. I took the picture last night. It's a bit... Anyway. These are pretty precious to me. I've had them in my life for quite a few years. I've not yet gone on to the stage of my dad where he gets parcel tape and starts to wrap round the slipper. It's not me being frugal, but you just get into a bad tradition of keeping what has been with you for years. Anyway, they've seen the end of their days, I think. If you've got your Bibles, would you just turn with me to Luke chapter 10? Just recently I spoke to a couple people and I asked the question, how are you feeling? And the response from one of them was, I feel very tatty. And then I spoke to someone else and said, how are you feeling? And he said, I feel very ropey. And when you're thinking about something that you have to speak out loud to the people at church, this is what I find, is that some little words just lodge inside your heart. And one of the things was this word tatty and word ropey. And I thought, I sat in my little sanctuary, which is my dining room table. When we lived at the Longcroft, I had a couple sanctuaries. There were lots of little rooms that you could just go away and disappear. Pete, you'll know, you can shut your eyes and just... Now it's around the dining room table and there's a little bit of noise and then there's... But it was around my little table in the sanctuary that I thought... And I was praying for these two people. And then I was sat there and I thought generally about all. And... I didn't doze off, but my heart was, this chorus that we sing is, he poured in the oil and the wine, and I have not been able to budget. He pours in the oil and the wine, the one that restores, and I thought about many situations and many of you, faces, family members, and all sorts. And I thought, if you do things in your own strength, man's strength, you'll fail. But there's such an amazing picture, and I'll read this story in a minute, which is such a well-known one of the Good Samaritan. But he wants to pour in the oil and the wine. I absolutely believe it. This morning, now... Let me just read these verses. It comes from an honest question from a certain lawyer. Chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, the Lord, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's a genuine question. He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. I think this is the bit now that comes when I think his feet were taken from him. And your neighbour is yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly, do this and you will live. Then the lawyer said, But he just... wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbour? And then I'll carry on in a minute. I've been so challenged by this story that I've recently been thinking about my neighbourhood. It says about your neighbour here. I'm not in the whole realms of social media. I have some, well, it seems to be stronger thoughts on it now than I ever did before. More on the warning side. I won't go into that, but I signed up. I had an app on my phone, and it's called Nextdoor. And my little neck of my woods is Irby. And I signed up to this app, and you can welcome different people into this neighbourhood. And then someone's selling a piano, you can just write a little message on there. And someone's saying, oh, what about the street parking? We need to, you know, petition. Anyway, I had this app, and I've got it, and lots of little messages come through. Something that's really caught my thing is the importance of our neighbour, our neighbourhoods. Why do I say this? Because I think this isn't meant to be a slant on anything. We must and we should pray and think for things abroad. And I'm totally 100% for that. What I realise is that sometimes I think we can almost forget our neighbour. The importance of it. How we live our life, how we conduct ourselves, our conversation. When we first were married, we lived in a tiny little upstairs, downstairs. It was just one room and a bathroom and a bedroom. That was it. And we were next to three other neighbours. It was in a bad neighbourhood. We had one little plot, and his name was Disco Bob. His music was blaring all the time. Then the neighbour next, right next to us, was a couple. Helen's smiling, but we weren't at the time. They would absolutely have the loudest arguments. They would fight. And then he would play his rock music from the 1970s, and then she would come in from a night shift, and it would be dance music, which sounded like a car alarm. And then there was another neighbour that would actually be fairly okay, apart from the summertime, and they'd have parties. And there was us, and we'd have our CD of Mandate playing Robin Mark in the actual... But the actual... it was awful. And when I look back now, I thank the Lord that we were there for 2 years. We had a chance to chat to them. I'm really growing about this neighbourhood thing. It's not a neighbourhood watch or anything like that. But I'm convinced. Should we go on and read the story? Sorry. By the way, Peter, I love Luke. Luke is such a brilliant book. He was a great physician. I think he would have been one of the best family doctors around. He was incredible. And if you compare Luke to Matthew and Mark, you know, when they talk about a fever, Luke says a high fever. Matthew and Mark say fever. That gives you a little bit of a detail. He's into detail. He's a doctor. He writes with detail. He writes to once the people groups that in some ways are shunned, the poor, women, Samaritans. Wonderful. That's a little plug there. Read Luke. It's wonderful. Then verse 30, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, he set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was the neighbour to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Isn't it a wonderful story, a wonderful picture of the wonderful Lord Jesus, isn't it? Let me go to my notes. I always do notes and then I end up forgetting them. Maybe that's a good thing. I was thinking about, and I looked into the history of this road from Jerusalem to Jericho, 17 miles long, and I think it, by all accounts, I read it up, but Jericho was the lowest city in the world. And I was thinking about Jerusalem, the high praise, where everything was going on, and then you've got this road, and there's probably people here that have even been on the road, and maybe know it, but it's got a massive drop which goes down to Jericho. And it just got me to this picture of how far the Lord has gone for us. How far He has gone for us. Here's the importance of oil and wine. Thinking about the Old Testament, oil was involved in the anointing of the prophets, the priests and kings for ministry to their offices. Oil symbolizes the soothing and healing presence of the Holy Spirit. If there's one subject that comes out reading Luke, it's the Holy Spirit. It's essential. And oil, which I remember learning as I was growing up, oil is the thing that signifies the Holy Spirit. Pouring in the oil and the wine. It was an ordinary remedy of the day. Isn't it amazing that the Lord uses ordinary, the ordinary, to do the extraordinary? Isn't that right? I couldn't help but think of people here when I sat in my sanctuary, the dining room, of the situations here. The Lord wants to pour in the oil and the wine. He so does. Do you know what the wine did? It would disinfect the wounds. I think someone described it as almost being like an antiseptic. And then the oil would be the thing that seals it. One thing that we live in such an instant society, what I realise is that this picture of the Lord Jesus, when He went and helped this person on the road, it would have taken time. That's what it says, isn't it? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, which is what the Lord does to us. He comes where we are. Someone mentioned earlier on, it's been a rocky 3 weeks. Maybe someone else here has had a rocky 3 weeks. But the amazing thing is that rock is the Lord Jesus. He's so faithful, isn't he? What does he do? He has compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds. It wasn't an instant thing. We live in such an instant society where we want things just like that. I may get in trouble here, but even things of healing. And I know it can be done like that. But I'm so gracious to the Lord that He can do the things where He just binds things. Just the actual image of pouring out the oil and the wine, it takes time. He dressed it, didn't He? The word wound comes from the Latin vulnus, giving us the word vulnerability. Are you feeling vulnerable this morning? The word dressing, and if there's anyone French here, you can correct me. The word dressing comes from the French dressier, meaning to set right or straight, or to put in proper order. He comes to the vulnerable and He sets us straight. Isn't that wonderful? Do you want new things this morning? One of the biggest problems, I would say, for men is pride. I don't need to be set straight. I think I can do this on my own strength. I am absolutely convinced that is rubbish. Sorry, it's not great English, is it? It's Him who does the work. It's Him this morning, as I look around, He wants to pour in the oil and the wine. That restores us. Brings us back to new life. Here's what He did after. This is a great aftercare package. Before I go there and what He does next, just turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. just the significance of oil. I'm always encouraged by this story. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. I've been reading about Gethsemane, and some would know that there was an oil press located in the garden. I love detail. I'm not going to apologise for it, but I love the detail. I'd love to actually go and to see Gethsemane. But I thought of this massive oil press, and I think it's described, Gethsemane means a place of crushing. And really, if you read these scriptures, you think this is where the Lord Jesus, he had his crushing, wasn't it? Take this cup from me. And I think I've got it on one of my pictures here. This is the actual road to Jericho. Sorry, Alan. It's going to be up and down. Can I have a volunteer for the pronunciation of this word? Someone did it. That's great, Anne. Thank you. I'm just getting this word in before I forget the actual, one of the main themes of this story. Does anyone know what this word means? I'll be really impressed if. Compassion. One of the main themes about this story is compassion. I'm jumping. Here's the oil press. And one thing that really grabbed me was that what the Lord went through in the garden. He went through this incredible pressing. You know what it is. They put the olives in here, and you have the large weight on top that would just squeeze down. And it just gave me a vivid picture of what the Lord went through. And then I just was in my mind thinking of the man on the road to Jericho, that the Lord poured in the oil and the wine there, and I was thinking about the oil, the Holy Spirit, how he poured into the man on the road there, but really how he poured out his own life. Isn't it wonderful? I'll leave it on there. Newness of life. This is what an author, Michael Card, said. I recommend this book. It's called A Violent Grace. This is how he explains it. Gethsemane, the garden where Jesus' awful drama played itself out, means place of crushing. The name came from the olive press located there. You can imagine how the olive press works. Beautiful, ripe olives go in. Heavy stones apply irresistible pressure, and the precious oil flows out. All that remains in the press is unrecognizable pulp. For such a crushing, Jesus has come to Gethsemane. Before the night is over, there will be a series of struggles, and each one he will be crushed. 2 days later, the human form of the Son of God will have been beaten and battered beyond recognition. But from this crushing, precious and abundant life will flow for you and me. Without the sorrows of Gethsemane, there will be no salvation at Golgotha. I've said it before, but I'm convinced this morning the Lord can pour in. He can pour into every situation that's here this morning. He can pour into a marriage. He can pour into someone that has unbelief. He can do that this morning. I'm convinced of it. He can pour into the sleepy. Apathy. You know, I was sat on a little table just over there, and we did the marriage course. And without going into all the detail, but I was so blessed by that course. One thing I would say from it is things have just been poured in again. He can do it. The Saviour does it. Wonderful Lord. Who's our neighbour? It's not just the one next door. It's you. It's me. I think the question is almost, how do I behave as a neighbour? Not who is my neighbour, how do I behave as a neighbour? Can I challenge you with that thought? How do you behave as a neighbour? If you've heard Brian recently speak from here, he's mentioned so much about love. If there's not love within us, then the neighbour will obviously see it. But if there is love in us and flowing through us, the neighbour will see it. Amazingly, I find it so interesting that in chapter 9 of Luke, you don't need to turn there, but the Lord, it says here, verse 51, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up," this is the Lord Jesus, "that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, and they entered a village of the Samaritans, to prepare for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem." And this is the bit where I have a little smile, because I'm thinking of the disciples here. "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command the fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?'" They were kind of impetuous. They were kind of... "But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.'" Oh, Lord. And if you compare that to the Good Samaritan, Jesus used the Samaritan, such a hated person by the Jews and others. He used the exact people where he'd been to the village before and been rejected. Isn't that amazing? That's why it's all about compassion. Oh Lord. Do I behave as a neighbour? Do we with one another? Lord, forgive me if I haven't. Let me go, I'm jumping again. You don't need to turn there. It's just in the book of Joel. It says this in Joel chapter 2. Do you remember the book of Joel? Do you remember about the locusts? Swarms of them, it said, like a black cloud. They came and devoured everything. And this is what God says. "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil." It so caught me I had to look up what vats meant. We're not all intelligent beings. I looked up vats to try and work out what it was. Excuse me. A large vessel, a cistern, a tub, especially one used for holding an immature state. Sorry, that's a little bit wordy, but I pictured the Lord Jesus And I pictured the abundance of him, that he has vats that are full and ready to be used. I don't like to use this word, but I almost think we need to tap into it. Excuse the pun on the tap. I think the cisterns are there now. I think the vats are ready to be poured out. I really do. And it will be in the most dire circumstances. It will be like on the road to Jericho. It will be that man who trekked down that path that was, I mean, it was had a history of people that had been beaten, and it was just one of those places you didn't want to go. And this man was going from the high elevated place, and he was going down to the lowest of all places. Such a picture of Christ, isn't it? Came down to the lowest places and brought salvation to us. And we're sat here this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Well, the work's not finished. He wants to pour out his oil and his wine. He really does. I don't believe that he saves us to sit on a shelf. He saves us to go on further, deeper, into the dire circumstances of people that are so messed up. This is why the whole story is about compassion. Think of work colleagues right now. I'm thinking, oh, the most dire circumstance. But the Lord, he's been to that place, he's been to that road, and I know that he can come, he can dress them, he can stop the infection, he can pour in the oil which seals and makes well. Do you know the other thing he does, which is on the verses, which I've totally... I had a 3-point sermon. This was it. It was pouring the oil. After that, it was he sets him on his beast, doesn't he? On his own beast. And after that, he walks beside. He pours in. Amazingly, he sets us on our own animal. And after that, he walks beside. Isn't that wonderful? We're not on our own. We are not on our own. As he lives his life in us, through us, which spills out like oil and wine to all those that we... You won't always know the people that you affect. I love the picture of the man that he's got these two buckets, and each day he does the mundane thing of walking down to the lake, and he puts his buckets in, then he goes back again and uses the... And then he realises that some of the water level's gone down a bit. So then each day he does the same again, puts his buckets in, back up again. And then one day stops and looks back, looks at the path. And on each side of the path the flowers are growing. You know, the water's been coming out from his bucket, out to the sides, out where he's walking. Wonderful picture, isn't it? That's what he wants us to do. Our eyes just fixed on the Lord. Day by day, the ordinary. I've got some quotes here. This is about the ordinary. Oswald Chambers. It is inbred in us that we have to do exceptional things for God. But we have not. We have to be exceptional in the ordinary things. To be holy in mean streets, among mean people. And this is not learned in 5 minutes. Do you remember the instant society? It takes time. It takes patience. It takes love. Another one from Oswald Chambers. We are not made for the mountains, for the sunrises, or for the other beautiful attractions in life. Those are simply intended to be moments of inspiration. We are made for the valley and the ordinary things of life. And that is where we have to prove our stamina and strength. Is that right? Very close to the road to Jericho, I think, is the valley. There's a deep valley there. And I actually think it was a place where David was, which is described in Psalms, the valley of the shadow.
And I thought about David when he was trying to escape, wasn't he? He was hiding in the dark places just to escape. And I thought, the Lord's been there. He's done it. Can I challenge us this morning? Do you want the oil and the wine to be poured in? It signifies healing, soothing. It brings strength to the weary. And I can't help, and I thought of my friend and brother, and I thought about his condition at the moment. Oh Lord, would you pour in the oil and the wine? Others, thought about others that we know here who've been sick. Seems to be a general thing where there's things that carry on, even long standing things. The Lord wants to pour in the oil and the wine. He so does. Maybe relationships that are hurt, broken, dislocated. He wants to come down that road and he wants to dress the wounds. You know that we can hold on to things for so many years, so many hurts. But this morning, like the vats in Joel, they're ready to be poured out. Do you want that in your life? I realised that as I was just reading about this at home, can't help but respond. Mainly because of knowing what the Lord has done. He's gone down that road. He's bandaged me up and I was dislocated. Actually, physically, even now I think about it, the times of injuring my knee and the dislocation of my knee, and I always use it as a little story, but always playing football, I dislocated my knee. It was painful. It was so painful. Thank the Lord for Helen Jacobs, physiotherapy. She set me back on that road and I can play football again. The Lord wants to do exactly the same. I had to have surgery. You know, some things have to be separated, cut off. If you've got struggles in this world today, some things have to be cut off. They really do. I liken the thieves on that road to Satan. He wants to get in. He wants to get his claws in. That's what he wants. Do you remember vulnerability? I mentioned that vulnerability, vulnerability of people. He wants to get into your vulnerable situations. And that's where he'll wreak havoc. Do you want the Lord to strengthen you this morning? Not just for you, it's your neighbour. The more and more I think about it, the more and more you've got to become unselfish about things. I've realised and learnt that through coming to the prayer meeting. It took me a few years because I was so self-centred in my spirituality that I realised, oh, I need to actually pray for other people. But it's very true. You can get into this slot of how am I doing? My spirit, how am I? Oh, I should have done that. Take your eyes off yourself. Even this morning, if you're doing very well and you're on the right road, you know that you'll probably know someone that needs the oil in the wine to be poured into them. You can pray for them. You can be close to them. You can lift them up on their own animal, and then you can walk beside them. It takes time, patience, heartache. Do you want that this morning? I want it. I want the oil. I want the fresh oil. I want the wine. Oh, I want it so poured out. We are hopeless without it. Precious Holy Spirit. Let me just finish in Romans chapter 6. This is what happens. Excuse me a minute. This is what happens once things are poured into you. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but for people selling events or new things, to have the word new in that event or thing can often get people, oh, it's new. Oh, you know, I used to like new trainers. It would grab me, new pair of trainers, or new life conference, or new frontiers, or I was going through all these new, anyway, there are other bodies that you can go to, you know. But new, something grabs you, doesn't it? Let me just read these scriptures. Sorry, bear with me. Romans chapter 6. This is where I lose my verse. Thank you. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism in death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's another verse. Chapter 7, verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And I know you could say I'm just putting that into my thingy just to make it relevant, but there's still something there about newness of life. I think what the oil and the wine does, and when it's poured in, it does bring this newness of life. Is that right? Does it make your step a little bit more springy? I don't think it always does, but it makes you want to go deeper. Deeper in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. More patient with the person that you're helping. That's why when I read Luke, I think he's got this doctor heart. Isn't he? Patient. Takes time. Can I open up this morning? I don't know what time it is. Quarter past. I can't help but respond to the Lord Jesus. I did on my sanctuary of my dining room table. And I said, Lord, pour in the oil and the wine for me. Thought of my brother, he's not well. Dave, I said, Lord, pour in the oil and the wine to him. There may be others here this morning. There may be something in your life now. Do you want healing? Is it a marriage problem? Is it a long-standing anger issue? Is it something that a sin that's so ensnared you for years you want dealt with? If the Lord can do it. I only say that because I have confidence in the Lord Jesus. I have no strength in myself, but I say, Lord, he's wanting to pour it out. Do you want that? Should we ask for it? One of the things that we so struggle to do is to ask. He says ask, doesn't he? Ask for wisdom. Ask him. Should we do that this morning? Should we ask him? If you want more, the love of Jesus Christ in your life to affect those, your neighbours, your family members, you can ask this morning. He's wonderful. He's standing there. The vats, they're full. He wants to pour it in. Precious Lord. Lord. Younger people. Thinking about the younger people as I sat there on my dining room table, it will be the best and biggest choice of your life is to choose the Lord Jesus, your Saviour. He wants to pour in the oil and the wine to your life now. Precious Lord. New beginnings. New chapters. He'll unfold things in your life. He'll surprise you. He'll take you to places. He'll take you on that road for you to help someone else. His Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus in your life. Oh Lord. Lord, we respond to you this morning. Lord. If you want to open your heart to him, I would do it. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. If you want newness of life, then here it is. It's fully available. He's poured it out at the cross. Oh Lord. Went through that place of crushing at Gethsemane for us, for our neighbours. Lord. Amen, Lord. Amen.